Everyone, we are glad that you're with us, and I am speaking not only of myself but of our guest, Dr. Terry Linhart, who is a PhD educator, author, and speaker, and who is helping people really, really learn how to lead. And he's doing it through this book, but he's also doing it at Bethel College in Indiana. And I appreciate you so much for seeing the need to really, really address our youth. Because I know that sometimes they probably feel like they're not getting the attention that they need. And in many cases, they're right. So yeah. Thank you so much for addressing them.
Yeah, you're welcome. I think that some churches do better than others at that. Some communities do better than others at that. But, it feels sometimes like we, I don't know, it depends on who you talk to. I think social media has helped parents and adults keep track of their kids a little more. Certainly in the 70s, where I grew up as a teen, we weren't the best teenage generation in the history of America. And, we made it through. But, some people do say that we've kind of abandoned our kids a little bit from nurturing them, and we really push them. So I think it's important for us to pay attention to youth and the children and to give them just a warm environment to grow up in.
I agree with you so much. And I tell you, those of you who are members of our youth really want you to really, really follow what Dr. Linhart is sharing with us. And one of the things that you mentioned in the book that is so important, Dr. Linhart, is that we see the race before us.
Yeah, so I use the analogy because I was a runner and I wanted to play basketball in high school. We had to do a fall sport. And so I was an eighth grader and the high school coaches were coming down to the middle school and they were trying to entice us to play their fall sport. And the football coach, this big guy, was curling this yardstick the whole time. He was going, we're like Marines out there. And I looked at myself. I was pretty skinny. I'm going, well, I can't be a Marine. And then the cross-country coach comes in and he says, well, smart people run cross-country. And I thought, well, my grades are poor. I need to be smart, so I'll do that. And I went out and I didn't run at all in the summer. This was 78, so I kind of ran a little bit around the yard and thought, hey, I'm ready. And I went to my first practice and I was not prepared for the amount of running. In my first race, I set a new school record in my first race. I ran the slowest time in the history of high school. And the coach kept using the word potential with me. And, sometimes we feel like that in life. We just are at the starting line and we just feel like we're slower than everybody else. People look at us and say, hang in there, you've got potential. And we want to do more than that. And so we are committed, and I talk about the discipline of a runner who goes out every day. No one claps for, think of people who play musical instruments. Think of the work you do for your radio ministry. Think of the things behind the scenes. No one's there, cheering you on day in and day out over these years and saying, do your best. And yet, by putting in that time, you become better, you grow. By putting in the practice of a musical instrument, you learn to play. by doing things important in our life to be better at self-awareness and other things, just treating people well, it plays an important part in us being fruitful and faithful in our ministry. And so that's why I use the race before us, because it is kind of like that. You know, it's an endurance test. And those of us who are parents know what that means. We hang in there with our kids through the tough times, you know, through the disappointments, through the through the various things that cause problems. And in the end, it's worth it.
In the end, I agree. It is definitely worth it. And you mentioned that, you know, how our parents come alongside of us. In your book, you talk about how you had a coach who came up. And I tell you what, it was just so interesting, some of the things that happened with some of those races and some of the ways that your coach went about motivating you to do what he knew you could do.
I met the coach that I write about. I met him last October, and I said, I've got a book coming out where I talk about you. I don't mention him by name, so I didn't have to get his approval. I sent him a copy. He sent me a letter. I have it even right here, thanking me. And I said, it's true. And he did. He came up beside me at this race. I was kind of just minding my business in fifth place, and he starts kind of getting on me and yelling at me like a coach did, in an appropriate way, of course. It wasn't like he was over the top. But he said, you need to show me what you got. You got to get this guy in front of you or we'll win. And I was shocked, but it motivated me, and I got it, and we did win. So that was a big regional meet, and that was a way of saying, hey, there's another level here. And I think that all my life, and even still now, as I'm rubbing shoulders with some people who are speaking across the country, and I'm moving into, you know, doing more of the speaking, I'm realizing there's another level of leadership out there. These people really work hard to make sure they're excellent communicators, and it's not just natural for them. You know, I thought, oh, these great speakers, it's just natural for them. Oh, no, they work at it. They practice in front of people. They take criticism from people to make sure that they're doing the best they can. And I thought, okay, Linhard, that's your next target. Those are the people you need to emulate in your life.
Interesting. And it is so amazing how we can be motivated by people. And you, it's excellence is obviously a way of life for you. And you're ready to learn from other people in your quest for excellence. I realized that, you know, one of the things that really fascinates me is, as you talk about that coach, you were mentioning that in this particular race where you were in fifth place, he kind of got on you. And that was a different approach from the way he had typically spoken to you.
Right.
And you just
Exactly right. Yeah, well, and that's what coaches do, and that's why I always say, hey, those of us who are coaches and parents, we need coaches too. I need someone in my life who's not afraid to pull me aside and say, you need to be better at this. So I just yesterday scheduled a time for a couple weeks from now. I have a couple people in my life, a couple men in my life who we spend time with, and it's a little mutual help, but I have one who's just kind of been a mentor to me for the last 10 years or so, and we're going to just spend some time together in 2 or 3 weeks. And now I'm thinking, okay, what questions do I want to ask him? Just be very intentional. You know, even just interacting, I just think we always should be learning. You know, even watching you run this show today in this hour, I'm thinking, oh, that's really good intro, you know, and how he's going in and out of breaks and the way you're coaching me during the breaks. And I just thought that's, you care for your guests in ways here, Carl, that are just really admirable. And I just think, okay, you know, because one area I've recognized, the reason I say that may sound odd, is I need to be better at giving instructions to people. And so, which sounds odd for a teacher to say, but it just, I get going too fast, you know, and learning to slow down is really good.
I hear you. Wow. Thank you so much for the compliment. Ladies and gentlemen, the subtitle of the book is Discovering Your Blind Spots to Reach Your Ministry Potential. And we're going to be talking some more about what you need to see. And so when we come back, we're going to delve into the significance of seeing your past. Stay with us.